Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Welcome to GeekCast Radio. This is episode 36, and now that the music spotlight is over with, we can move on to other subjects. This time around, we're going to be tackling the issue of bullying and being bullied. I am one of your hosts, Dave, Joe, and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Dustimus Prime, hello.
Howdy, good sir.
And Birdman Dodd, hello.
What's up?
Not much. Yes, It took a while, but the music spotlight is done to Steve's enjoyment. Yeah, Anyway.
Bane of my existence.
So, actually, this episode is a result of Dustin bullying us into, recording segments for something that he's doing. What exactly? Because the original email is so far buried in my Gmail, I don't even remember what the original email was. What is it that you're working on, or what is it that you're doing, Dustin? Explain it to the listeners.
Well, I think a big part of the nerd and geek community is people who tend to be, or at least have grown up being bullied in some type of way, you know, without the use of the internet so much as, you know, as the four of us were probably in high school at the time or even junior high, the internet wasn't really easily accessible. So if you were into something that wasn't the quote unquote norm, you may have gotten picked on for it, or, you know, your looks, what you like, what you feel, people would poke at you. And so the general idea was to reach out to as many people as I possibly could in the internet community, you guys. And I've gotten a lot of really cool responses. I even got a little bit of a push from Lewis Lovehog because I reached out to him, but he himself didn't quite have any stories, but he had an anti-bullying video that he was doing and gave a little push there too. The overall response has been positive. I just haven't received too many submissions yet.
I've been lazy.
Well, you know, and the thing was, when you emailed us, all of us, about this, I was like, okay, well, the music spotlight's wrapping up. When do you need this by? I was like, all right, let's just do a podcast about it, because I'm sure we all have stories that we can tell, and this could be used as, you know, one of your major pushes for this project that you're doing. I think how we're going to start this off is we're going to go around the invisible internet table here, and we're going to tell stories of either being bullied as kids or, hell, even being bullied as adults. Let's just say I've grown my beard out to the point where it's jumping off my neck, and I was walking down the street the other day.
Singing Do I Diddy? Didn't you?
Shut up. And somebody said,
help the Aquaman, sorry.
No, shut up.
go on.
Asshole. Somebody made some snide remark, and for those of you who don't know, when I'm, say I leave my apartment and I'm going over to the store, okay, that's point A to point B. I focus on what I'm doing. I don't focus on moron walking down the street or drivers driving by. I don't talk to people when I'm out walking. I just don't. So it's like, if I hear something, I'll just ignore it. You know, people try to come up to me and be like, oh, excuse me, sir, can I vote? I'm like, no. Or I won't even say anything. But it's just, it's just one of those things where, for me, as a kid being bullied, it was because of that I looked a little bit different than anybody else, because of my cerebral palsy, which affects my right hand and right foot. They turn in slightly. That's really the only physical differences. They are slightly smaller than my left hand and left foot. And I would get bullied in elementary school for that. because kids just didn't understand it. They just didn't care, whatever. You know, stuff like that. And it just seems like it's an epidemic that just we can't seem to stop. I don't know. What about you, Don? What kind of experiences with being bullied do you have?
Well, obviously being a chunk-a-dunk, I get, oh, you're fat. And I'm like, ha, you're retarded. I tend to turn the tables. One thing I remember specifically, I remember I got beat up in probably about fourth or fifth grade. These people distracted the teacher, and these kids shoved my face in the snow, and I couldn't breathe. I literally thought I was going to die. I was gasping for air. I was throwing up when I finally could get enough air into my lungs so I could, you know, continue this existence called life. But one incident that sticks out in my mind is when I decided enough was enough. And there are two instances of this. There were these kids on the bus. They were named Tash and Tim. They were brother and sister. They used to pick on me all the time. So one of these days, they get the smart idea to throw an orange at me. I'm in grade four. I'm like, all right, I've had just about enough of this shit. So I pick up the orange, whale the sister right in the eye with the orange. Boom, explodes everywhere. Cool. The brother walks past you thinking like he's a tough motherfucker. I whale him right in the gut as hard as I can as he walks past my seat on the bus. He gets off, falls to his knees, and pukes. I feel really good about that. The next time, because I'm a bigger guy and one of the few native kids at my school, there was like maybe four of us. Me, my best friend Quincy, and a few other kids. So anyway, these grade eights. Think about this. Grade eights picking on grade fours.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 4 years older than me. You're about 100 pounds on me. Shit. So one day, and you're going to love this kid's name. I'm more than willing to say it because I think it's funny. His name was Mike Hunt. Fuck this kid. So anyway, him and his friend Elliot decide to ambush us because they just built this new hallway in the school, right? So they decide to ambush us. Luckily, me and Quincy were ready for this. So we knock these fuckers down to the ground, and we're driving their heads into this marble floor, just grabbing the back of their heads and just feeding them the floor. And I remember us saying, you do this again, we'll kill you. Try me. And pretty much throughout then, I'd be bullied the odd time, but it would be, kid, I am not afraid to fight. You can bring all your drug-dealing friends all you want. I'm not afraid to die. Bring it on. And it's been sporadic. I mean, now and again, I mean, when I went through college, I'd have the odd people try and make fun of me and Steve, because pretty much when Twig went through Niagara, we were the freaks and geeks, and we were totally okay with that. But, you know, we get the odd people picking on us the odd time. I get the odd person say, hey, you fat fuck. I'm like, hey, fuck you, whitey. And I don't know. It wasn't so bad because I fought back. But that's not always an option for every kid out there.
Yeah.
So that's mostly my experience. I mean, I've got a few more, but those are the big ones that stick out in my mind.
Yeah. What about you, Dustin?
Well, high school is funny because high school for us was actually very, what's the word? A cornucopia of awesome. Like in high school, a lot of everybody got along really well together. So thankfully, people seem to have matured in high school. There's obviously the occasional fight that broke out every once in a while, but it's junior high that actually was kind of the ugly duckling of my probably school years. I had kind of moved to North Junior High, which is on the north end of town. and there was this one kid named Todd. He was a year ahead of me. And he picked on me. This is like classic. I mean, gym class, of course. I'm an overweight kid as it is. So I'm already self-conscious as it is to switch out of my regular clothes into my gym clothes. And so he'd constantly pick on me. You know, you get the whole man boobs thing, blah, blah, blah. And it weighs on you after a while. But I also had the strength enough just to ignore it. But what really tipped the scales for me was that in eighth grade, we were having a chess tournament. I had like 30 kids in this thing, double elimination. I made it up all the way to second place by the time it was done. I was amazed, which is funny because I haven't really played much chess since. But I was so proud of this trophy that I had won And of course, and this is all done on your lunch break. You sacrifice your lunch break to go to this chess tournament. It was kind of an extracurricular thing. And went to gym class right after that. Well, guess what? He sees it in my hand, asks what it is, and just conveniently, oops, drops it. And it was a king piece, and the crown broke right off the top of the trophy. I was pissed. I didn't know how to react. I didn't like really, you know, do anything physically. I just kind of balled it up in just anger and just let it be. Because I'm a very zen-like individual. I tend not to lash out at people. Now, here's the kicker to this story. And not all bullying stories end well like this. In high school, I think I was in 11th grade. I happened to be getting picked up at school by my grandpa for whatever reason, and we were driving up along this road, and I saw him walking. And I just remember looking at him, not really thinking much of it. I was like, hey, Todd. And he just kind of looks at me like he knows me, but he's not quite sure from where. And it's like, he's like, do I know you? I was like, yeah, man, my name's Dustin. You used to pick on me horribly in junior high school. And he's like, oh, my God. And he just looks at me and goes, I am so sorry. he's like, I want you to understand that I am a completely different individual now. I put a lot of people through a lot of shit in junior high, and I'm sorry that you were one of them. And he honestly apologized, and I was like, I didn't know how to react. I was like, you know what? Thanks, man. That's all you want to hear when you're being bullied is just somebody to tell you they're wrong, they apologize, and move on with your life. I mean, that would be fantastic for anybody who is in a bullying situation. So that's my one major story, and I got other several small ones in there, but that's definitely the one that sticks out the most.
Before Steve goes, that actually reminds me, this past season, season 5 of Big Bang Theory, Leonard actually had that exact same experience, but he had to get his bully drunk in order for the bully to apologize.
Yeah, no booze involved here.
Yeah. What about you, Steve?
Well, I can relate to the junior high thing. My whole experience through junior high to pretty much, I'd say 11th grade, I got picked on pretty much daily, not only in the class because I was kind of the geeky, nerdy, quiet guy that didn't really say a whole hell of a lot, but when I did, it was pretty much all knowledgeable on movies, you know, various cartoons. So, you know, unless you were into those kind of subjects, you were pretty much an outcast.
Yeah.
We had our own specific table and lunch that everybody sat there and pointed and laughed and all that every day. I mean, granted, when we were among friends, it didn't matter. It didn't bother so much. But on the individual basis, it was it was unnerving. It more so, I never had any like dark thoughts or any of that kind of stuff, but I always wanted them to just leave me the hell alone. And eventually some of these people that just happened to be like a grade above me kept screwing with me, and it turned into just name calling to physical abuse to be humorous to their friends. One of them decided to snap me with a belt one day. In process of getting off the belt or off the bus on the way home, and I had always sat in the same area, kept to myself, you know, just away from them. And right, they thought, you know, today is the day that I'm going to sit there and pick on him again. Never mind the fresh meat that was already on the bus. So they snapped me with a belt, and to which I told them to stop or else. And 10 minutes goes by, I'm getting off the bus, he snaps me with the belt again. I lose it. I wail on this kid, beating his ass royally. To the point that I was almost downright scary. Everybody was kind of like in awe, the bus driver's just kind of watching, and then everybody just started cheering and laughing as I walk off the bus at this one kid. Luckily, the brains department had helped me, because the next day this kid came into one of my classes with a pretty good slew of friends. trying to whip my ass. And I just happened to be in a class where I was the student aide. And everybody in there was hurting grade-wise. Let's just put it that way. They didn't let them get anywhere near me. In fact, they even got them out of the classroom and got them in trouble. So, you know, by the end of it, I never heard from most of them again. But it just took me several years to get over the fact and just say, you know, I'm just tired of taking this shit. I can't do it anymore. It was just tearing me up mentally. It just, you know, I eventually just said enough's enough, but I didn't go to the extreme of having to, you know, like some of these other kids that you hear about in the news, you know, either committing suicide or mass murdering people. I mean, it's just, you know, you can deal with it on a one-on-one basis and just teach them a lesson, like, go the hell away.
Yeah. You know, that actually reminds me of something. I actually would like to interject here with two more stories, simply because it kind of ties to this. In the 11th grade, I remember I was taking exams, and y'all know that's a stressful time. So there's this little motherfucker. His name was Matt. He looks like a bowling ball. He was this like 5 foot nothing, and he was a chunky kid. But the reason he was popular is because he sold drugs, right? So he's surrounded by all the girls and all these tough looking motherfuckers, you know. And I'm sitting there trying to study. He starts making fun of me, and I'm like, you know what? I just don't care anymore. So much like Steve, enough's enough. Walk up to this kid, throw him through a table in the cafeteria, and when he's on the ground, he's like, get off of me. I remember stepping on his neck, and I remember saying, I can't remember precisely what I said, but this part sticks out to me clear as day. I want to hear you say, I understand you, Michael Dodd. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I put a little more pressure down on his windpipe. Say that again, Matt. After three tries, he gets the fucking message. Repeat exactly what I said. And eventually, I pick him up by his neck, slam him against the wall, drop him, go write my exam. By the way, I did awesome after that exam. Good God, adrenaline. He then tried about a year later. I had one of the biggest teachers in the school pry me off this kid. And because I threw him up against the wall again and said, Matt, you didn't learn the first time, did you, kid? And this ties into a second story. This is where my bravado got me in trouble. I was seeing this girl, and we kind of had an interest in each other. We went on one date, didn't go so well. I'm like, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I'm just not that into you. So she says, I'm going to get revenge on you. I'm like, sure you are. Months pass. I get a call into the principal. The principal walks down to my computer classroom, says, Mike, can I speak to you for a minute? Yeah, sure. Grab your stuff. Okay, what the fuck did I do? I'm going through my mind. Okay, they don't know I ripped off the lunch lady. They can't prove that was me. Blah, 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 blah. I was a troublemaker in high school, but always with you know, a glad heart. I wasn't an evil motherfucker.
Like you are now.
Like I am now, though their computer technicians loved me. I had to come down for a week. Anyway, so I get hauled out of class, and the teacher looks at me point blank. The principal, and says, hey, Mike. Yeah? Do you have any plans to shoot up the school? Wait, what? Yeah, and he says this to me point blank. I'm like, no, and if I did, do you think I would answer yes right now? So he's like, oh, okay, you're suspended. Wait, what? Because at this time, 1999, Columbine had just happened, and The Matrix was in theaters. Guess what fashion choice I was wearing at the time?
Trench coat.
Bingo! Oh, it's the Brown Devil. So... kicked me out of school for 2 weeks for quote unquote my own safety. The school assembly for Christmas is almost canceled, but they bring in undercover officers. Yes, Timmy, you don't look like you're age 25 wearing a bulletproof vest. Why, yes, please come have a seat by me and the teacher with the guard dog. So anyway, turns out a chick bullied me and a bunch of other people, started spreading rumors around the school. And at one point, I had the hockey teams and the football teams. The football team wanted to kick my ass. Like, we're going to fuck that my dog kid up. And then the hockey team's like, no, no, you're not, because I worked for the Ontario Minor Hockey Association. So I have two gangs of brutes wanting to kill each other. It's very much West Side Story. And it just, it got downright fucking ridiculous. And I lived with that stigma until probably grade 13 up here in Canada. I mean, I'd get the odd person poking at me going, hey, Mikey, you going to shoot up the school? I'm like, I don't know. Do you want to find out? They don't like that very much. But that just made me think when, like, Steve was, like, telling his story. But, yeah, that's probably the worst I had happen to me. I had people call my house from CBC, ABC News. We had to take the phone off the hook. I eventually got taken down to police interrogation for about 4 hours. And they had me tell the same story 4 or 5 different times. And I'm like, guys, I'm not a criminal mastermind or anything. Here. I'm a guy who sits in the cafeteria and plays D&D, which that makes me think about Steve's thing too. In our school, the experience was very different. The nerds and geeks in our school, we ruled the cafeteria. We took it over from the druggies in grade 10 and held it until grade 12. It was very much like a shitty game of StarCraft.
Nice.
We held it for 2 years. If we didn't like you, get the fuck out of here. I just remember one time this fucking drug bitch started lipping me off one time, and I just shot a thing of ketchup at her, thinking, I don't care, you're wearing white, and here's mustard in your eye. Man, I'm surprised I didn't get shot in retrospect. Anyway,
I've got two additional ones, and then we can move on after this. So, I don't think I might have told a couple. I know Dustin doesn't know this. I don't know if I told Dot or Steve about this stuff, but in 94, I became a ward of the state of Kentucky, and I was a ward of the state of Kentucky until I graduated high school in 99. Throughout that time, I'd been through multiple foster homes, multiple group homes, whatever else. The final group home I was at before I essentially exited state's custody after I graduated was, Boys Haven. And, in the cottages back then, they were all double rooms. So you always had a roommate. There was only two single rooms that actually shared a bathroom. And it was like, if you were the best kid in the, you know, in the entire system, whatever, you could be one of the two that got one of those rooms. And you'd have your own, you know, obviously the two of you'd have to share a bathroom, but it wouldn't just be that big, you know, general stall bathroom that everyone else would have to share. So I think it was like Friday or a Saturday afternoon, I forget. I'm in there shaving. And by this time, I'm, you know, 17, 18 years old, and my beard was growing out pretty rough. And it took me a while to shave with Bic razors, because as we all know, Bic razors suck. Because by this time, we didn't have, you know, Mach 3 or any of that stuff back then. And the kid that was in the other single room that shared the bathroom with me, his kid was deathly afraid of everyone else in the house. He was one of those quiet loners that you just kind of have to watch, just have to watch out for. And he refused to use the big bathroom. And I'm in the middle of shaving. I can laugh at it now, but back then, oh my God, I was so pissed. I told him, I said, dude, I'm in the middle of shaving. It's going to take me another 5 or 10 minutes. Can't you just go to the bed? No one was all the other kids were out doing other things. It was just him and I and maybe two other people that were up front watching TV. So it wasn't like there was like the entire house was in the building. And he's like, no, I want to use my bathroom. This is my bathroom, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, we share this bathroom and I'm in the middle of shaving. I don't know what he went. He went off somewhere, comes back, barges in through his side of the bathroom door, stabs me in my left arm with a pen. I said, are you fucking nuts? Are you kidding me? Over using a damn bathroom. I said, we got into a fist fight, and I ended up winning this because by the time the staff members realized what was going on, they had to pull me off of him because I had him by his throat about 2 feet off the ground in the bathtub. So, like, his head was hitting against the window, which is 2 feet above where you would stand in the bathtub, because the dude fucking stabbed me with a pen. Overusing a fucking bathroom. There was, like, two other people there besides him and I. Are you serious? You can't go in a huge bathroom while I'm in the middle of doing something in our bathroom. You know, I'm in the middle of shaving. Come on, dude. Jesus fucking Christ. So that was one incident. Another one, and this would be the last one for me, is in these group homes, usually they have two staff. Sometimes they only have one staff. And on the nights that there's only one staff there, unless the entire group wants to go out to go get ice cream or go get a movie or go rent a movie or whatever, no one can leave. Again, it was a weeknight, so it was a school night. It was like Wednesday or Thursday night. Everybody wanted to go to the movies for some stupid reason. Everybody wanted to go to the dollar movies. And I'm, you know, this is like at 11 o'clock at night on a school night. And I'm like, no, I've got school tomorrow. I don't want to go to the movies. I don't want to be up all night. I have a huge test in the morning or whatever else. I was the one holdout that was preventing everyone from going to the movies. And this one kid just couldn't stand that, started attacking the hell out of me in my own room. And just beat the ever-living shit out of me. And by the time that I was, you know, this whole time I was defending myself, I ended up pretty much scratching the hell out of the kid and just like, dude, give me a fucking break here. It's a fucking school night. You don't go to the fucking movies on a school night. It's just not that big of a deal. And it's like, Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't know. So, moving on from that, you know, we hear about bullying all the time, and the second topic here would be the continuing tragedy of bullying going on today. I mean, you know, you've got Dustin sent us a link, which I'll put in the show notes, about video footage of someone being bullied on a bus, and I don't know, it's just, it's everywhere.
I mean, and I can tell you precisely why this is happening. And you're not going to like the answer either. My wife, as you guys know, is a teacher. Mm-hmm. She sees this shit every day. Well, yeah. I don't know why? Because kids today have no respect or fear of authority. What I mean by that is kids born probably past 80, or not 80, since probably, I'd say 1990, basically kids that are born in the 90s coming into their adolescence now, they have no fear of authority because they're... their parents are probably pretty young, right? So they give into this whole new age parenting bullshit. And, you know, they want to be your friend, not an authority figure. I blame a lot of the parents. And I blame a lot of the media. Like, for example, kids now, as a teacher, you can't give them a zero. There's no such thing. You can't fail a kid. Which is why these kids just keep getting pushed through the system.
That's bullshit.
Oh, it's total bullshit. And it gets worse, too. The teachers are completely powerless to do anything about discipline problems either. Like, the kids in school, they can beat the shit out of you. You can't fight back. There is no repercussions. If your kid if a kid attacks another kid, it's not going to be settled on the school ground. It's going to be taken legal. Immediately. So, hey, if I beat up little Timmy, maybe we can get some money out of this. It's fucking retarded. And I'm dead fucking serious. It is because kids don't fear anything. When we were younger, like all of us, when we had enough, we took a swing at the motherfucker and that was enough. But look at something like Columbine. Yeah, those kids were pretty fucked up. But they decided to solve their problems with Tech Nines and shotguns.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the solution too these days. That's their version of fighting back because the kids don't have any respect for each other either. I mean, the amount of weapons that are in schools is unbelievable. And the amount of younger kids that are dying because of bullying, because somebody brings a knife or a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, man. I mean, kids today, they don't understand that there's life beyond these four walls, be it grade school, high school, or whatever. I mean, it really does get better in college for the most part. But then again, there was another case that happened a couple years ago where a guy put a webcam on his gay roommate and outed him when he wasn't ready for it. Kid wrote on his Facebook, "I'm going to go jump off the George Washington Bridge by." Everybody thought it was bullshit. And then he actually did it. So, I mean, there's cyberbullying, too. I remember seeing the beginnings of this.
Yeah.
When the internet was very much in its infancy, getting a hold of someone's ICQ or their MSN number or whatever. And people would fucking tear into each other. I mean, kids today, I don't know what it is. It's just,
MySpace was the ultimate playground for that kind of stuff.
It's not just that. It's the fact that now, because the post-90s generation... they don't actually have face-to-face interaction anymore. They all sit on these smartphones or tablets. They're constantly connected, whereas us, we grew up without that stuff initially.
I didn't know what the hell... I think I was maybe... Oh, God. Eight or nine? I didn't know what the hell a modem was. My older cousin, Bobby, actually... had one of the early modems where it would allow him to talk to someone through his computer somewhere in another country. Well, so, yeah, I mean, we didn't grow up with all this internet stuff. We didn't grow up with all of this, you know, instant communication type of deal. You know, if you wanted to talk to somebody, you wanted to call somebody out, you either went over to their house or you called them on the phone. You didn't, you know, post on their Facebook wall or, you know, spam their Twitter, you know. And see, that's the difference is, and like Dodd was saying earlier about, you know, how we grew up fearing something. What I think the problem with today's society in general, not just
we had
kids respect. And bullying, but well, the problem with today's society and is that we are so desensitized to everything. We just are. It's like I'll see something on the news and be like, oh my God, that's horrible. You know, but it doesn't like I have no shock value in anything anymore. I personally don't like nothing shocks me anymore. It's like because it's become so everyday and it sucks.
I mean, I've seen some pretty horrible things on the internet and even more recently some stuff that has made headlines around the world. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but let's just say that didn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
I think the big problem is nobody respects each other. And because there's no respect and no fear, the only option is either passive, just let it happen, or aggressive. Like, it's fight or flight now. And I know that seems really making it really fucking simple, but that's it. I mean, think how many of these kids decide, well, you know what? I'm just gonna kill him. There's no other way out of this. I'm simply going to kill this person. When we were kids, sure, we thought about it for all of 3 seconds.
Yeah, and then we wised up and realized if we did anything like that, our parents would kill us.
Well, it's the fact that we thought going to jail was a bad thing.
And yeah.
And look at
whereas now they think of it as a room and board and a place to eat free food.
And exactly.
That's another thing, too, because things are so bad in certain parts of the country. I mean, even between both our countries. That's a viable option. Hurt somebody, at least I'm not on the street. Like, that's a terrible fucking reality. I mean, and it's there's so many more social causes and economic causes that cause bullying. I mean, it's hard for us to sum this up in one episode. And
that wasn't the goal. I mean, it wasn't, you know, bullying is such a large topic that one episode just wouldn't fit everything, but like the link that Dustin provided about the kid committing suicide from being bullied, and it's like, jeez, it's just.
Well, I think the one that kills me the most, like the one that I just posted about this Karen Klein lady being bullied for like 10 minutes straight, just being absolutely verbally berated on a bus ride. Is nuts. Like, I can't. Do you want to talk about Mike Dogg's absolute lack of respect? That is a prime example. The other one that killed me, too, was not only our kids bullying, but there was a story, what, a couple of 6 months to a year ago where this daughter's mom bullied a girl for her, somebody that her friend was associated with, and bullied her to a point where she ended up hanging herself.
Yeah.
I remember that now, yeah.
And they suffered no repercussions from it at all. I think they got it like some media buzz, and that was about the extent of it.
I think there was some kind of a civil suit, but I haven't heard anything more about it.
To know why? Because they swept it under the rug like they do everything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the big things that's happening right now up in Canada, the Ontario provincial government is going through something right now where they want to have certain legislature change. Like, there's like this anti-bullying bill, and because Catholic school boards are publicly funded, right, they want to have the wording changed. If there wants to be a gay straight alliance or a gay and lesbian club in a school, they want them to be able to have that wording, and all the boards are like, no, you can't do that, we're a Christian school. I'm like, well, you're publicly funded, motherfucker, you do what we say because we provide your damn money. Yeah. And they want to change all this legislation for bullying. I think Lady Gaga actually visited a couple of schools in Toronto earlier this year or late last year involving bullying, because it gets right terrible, especially in these cities too. But there's also cases where it's really isolated. There was a kid from, it was either Minnesota or Alberta. I just know it was a really rural area, and he shot his parents and then went to the school and started shooting people. I think he ended up with like 4 people, and then he killed himself. And I don't know whether Virginia Tech, which happened in 2007, I don't know whether that was related to bullying or whether this guy was just a fucking whack job. But I mean, it sucks that us who are in positions of power and authority are powerless to touch these kids, or we can't say anything, we can't do anything, because the system is designed to neuter us.
Yeah.
Hard to do anything.
Well, that kind of transitions into the final topic here, is how can bullying be stopped? Now, a lot of times when I watch Cartoon Network, I see the guys from their live action show called Dude, What Could Happen? And they do a bullying, stop bullying ad on there. And their advice is, go tell an adult, this, that, and the other thing, everything else. But it's like, how can this epidemic, I mean, it, essentially bullying and being bullied is almost a disease at this point. How can this be stopped? And it's like, the world at large is not going to come together to stop this one thing, sadly. Nope.
It's because human nature, because it's this alpha pack mentality where I have to be superior compared to you. And unless we go through some enlightened change like in Star Trek, this isn't going to happen. I mean, we can reduce incidents of it, or at least give power back to the people that are being bullied. But I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't want to sound defeatist, but I think kids that are being bullied should have options available to them, like being able to fight back without repercussions of getting stabbed or shot.
Or sued.
Or, the teachers in the schools need to have the ability to report bullying and do something about it. Like I said, my wife is a teacher, and I hear stories about these kids that are being bullied or abused, and there's nothing the school board can do because they're afraid of getting in shit.
Yeah.
Terrible when you can watch another human being suffer, but you don't want to be inconvenienced. What the fuck is wrong with you?
You know what? I think, did you guys ever see that show on MTV, Bully Beatdown?
No.
I don't approve of many shows on MTV, but this one, hands down, best idea I've ever seen. They take this guy from MMA, his name's Mayhem, and he, people send him in letters saying, such and such, this douchebag is bullying me, such and such. They approach said bully, and basically the bully is offered $10,000 to step into a ring with a professional MMA fighter, and he has to last 2 rounds, one of actual like punching and kicking blows and another one submission. And they usually the bully just gets the crap liver kicked out of him. And for every time that that person submits, they get the victim gets $1,000, or every time if the guy doesn't survive the initial 2 minutes, I think it is, then they get $5,000. So it's $10,000 all around. It's now, granted, that's an extreme case, but
well, and that's still kind of stupid too, though, because you're rewarding the bully. Yeah. Hey, here's some money.
Well, you're also throwing him in the ring with a professional MMA fighter at the same time. It's like,
I mean, I'd take a punch from Brock Lesnar for $5,000. He could shatter my jaw, because you know what? It'll heal.
Yeah, but would you take a punch from Big Show for $10,000, though? I don't think anybody would. I don't think there's any amount of money that anyone would want to take a punch from Big Show.
I think Brock Lesnar could kick his ass.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar would throw a punch harder than the Big Show. It's the Big Slow. he doesn't move too quickly.
I mean, we can't reward violence, but then again, look at me. I stopped bullying because I fought back. But there are kids that fight back and they get their asses kicked or worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, honestly, it's a social epidemic. And I think, like I said, I think a large part of it comes down to lazy parenting and social economic conditions. Like, how many rich kids do you see picking on each other? Not too many.
That you hear of.
Yeah, that you hear of. I mean,
money covers all wounds in that area.
Yeah, I mean, I could very well be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong in this, but it just seems like us more blue collar working class people, we feel the pinch more so than most. And I'm not saying money will heal it every problem, but like you said, it definitely hides it.
Yeah. Now, before we kind of leave off on this, this just occurred to me. Do you guys think? I know that movie Bully came out a while ago, a few months ago maybe, a month ago, I forget when it came out, and that's a really, really powerful movie. But do you guys think that the media upplays bullying? Because you've got, you know, movies that are just utter crap, like Mean Girls and stuff like that. Well, do you think that portrays the bullying epidemic properly, or do you think that they blow it up out of proportion?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that they tend to... the media blows everything out of proportion. Doesn't matter what it is. So, I mean, they're going to gloss over certain facts because they want to be politically correct. So there's always going to be a piece that's left out either to be in someone else's favor. Now, on the other hand, as far as how all this stuff has gotten worse progressively over time, I think it's partially not only the parents, as Dodd has said, I think it's also the government and the media. You have that combination of everything kind of, you know, you got parents wanting to be friends, you got the, you know, government kind of relaxing on the rules and like, oh, we got to be politically correct because, you know, we can't, you know, this little Johnny screwed up, you know, we can't give him, you know, zero or, you know, everybody has to win, everybody has to be on the same playing field and, you know, so that they don't have to get, you know, it's the whole system is screwed up. And that's why, especially nowadays, kids are getting the wrong messages from everything. And it's, I sincerely fear for kids in the future generations, because I don't see this getting any better.
Yeah. I think it's only going to get worse, truthfully. I mean, our society is soft. And I hate to say that because my grandmother, think of what you will about her parenting style, because I more or less raised myself. I was always taught to not take any shit.
As was I.
But that's not always a realistic response these days. And I wish things were different. I really do. But unfortunately, just looking at the way and the creatures we are, especially in the Western world, it's survival of the fittest. But it's also because there's so many other factors that kind of play into it. I mean, where you are in the social food chain. And I mean, I've been bullied being here in the media. I mean, I get the odd insulting email the odd time and all that shit. Or I get the odd call out on Twitter. And since I'm a member of That Guy with the Glasses, there are entire websites dedicated to making fun of us. They're funny to read, let me tell you, funny and sad. I don't know what we can do unless we do a complete 180 as a society. Unfortunately, the body count's going to continue to rise. And I hate sounding so defeatist about this because I believe in the basic good of people. Actually, hold on. Allow me to retract that statement. I believe in good persons. I do not believe in good people. The distinction being the individual can be convinced. The individual can change for the better. The people are a stupid, ignorant mass that follow the path of least resistance. And that's unfortunately what we have to look at. There are some good individuals out there, some really good people that are genuinely trying to make change. I mean, think what you will about Lady Gaga or Bieber or whoever these people, these youth icons, at least they're trying to do something with what media influence they have about bullying, either by donating money, giving talks, et cetera, or people in the government trying to pass legislation to do something about it. But at the end of the day, the masses, they're going to turn on you.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Dustin?
Well, speaking to some of the stuff that Mike was just talking about, if you're looking for, and I hate to go back to it because it sounds like I'm marking out here, but the WWE always has, they teamed up with the Be a Star Alliance, and those guys, say what you will about wrestling, this particular sanction that they're working with is awesome. That's all they do is they go around just talking about being tolerant and being just socially good. You know, don't be an idiot. Don't be a douche is basically what they stand for. And the only word I don't like about them is that they say tolerance. Tolerance kind of freaks me out in the fact that the word itself, the meaning is good, but at the same time, you're still, just because you don't like something, you have to tolerate it, which isn't necessarily the case. I think acceptance is probably the better word to use here, just because you can accept people for who they are. You may not necessarily like it, but you can accept it. You know, you don't have to be a douche about it. Whereas tolerance, it still sounds like it has like a breaking point somewhere. You can only be tolerant to a certain point, you know. So that's just my only beef with it. But other than that, it's a great program. If you guys check it out, Google it, Be a Star. It's good stuff.
I think there was a similar program for UFC and MMA, I think. I can't remember.
Oh, I'm sure that there is.
Because I know they were talking about it in Toronto a couple of months ago with Mayor Rob Ford, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to break and go to some ads, and we'll come back to close the show.
This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You can now hear the GeekCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear GeekCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter GeekCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCast Radio when you register.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, our episode on bullying and how it can or possibly won't be stopped, which is sad. Mike, what do you have coming up really quickly? 10 seconds, go.
I'm going to be appearing at Con Bravo with people from Channel Awesome, as well as Noah from the Spoonie Experiment, and should be a good time. Also, I'm going to be on the Man Cow Show, possibly as a future contributor for pretty much forever. I'll let you know.
Cool. What about you, Dustin? What do you got going on?
Well, I got this anti-bullying video that I am hard working on. I'm really trying to get Lindsay Ellis from that guy with the glasses to respond. She responded once, and I've been trying to get her to respond again, but she hasn't gotten back to me. But The anti-bullying video, I'm working with Dymo Mac from Lost in the Music on doing, we're doing a healthy listening month for the month of June. So that's really cool. And just, again, being a dad.
Well, speaking of, that's a nice transition, actually, because Steve and his wife, Mary, found out that they're having a baby boy.
Yay!
Yes. Woo!
Yes, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. And as always, here at GCR, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up throughout the network. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time when we'll be talking about that media mogul in our director's spotlight, Kevin Smith. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Dustin Dustimus Prime Vancouver.
Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, unleash the geek in you.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.
Ever wanted to try an Olympic and Paralympic sport? Try fencing. It's fast, safe, and easy to start. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.